Welcome to the Gut Church Podcast. My name is Kennedy Shear, and thank you so much for joining us. Today, we have a great word for you. If this ministry has changed your life, will you let us know? Send us an email to story@gutschurch.com.
What's up, Gut Church? Oh, man, I love you guys. It makes me almost get a little bit emotional, and I'm the emotional one in the marriage, so it could happen. I absolutely, from the bottom of my heart, love you. I love this church. For those of you that are new to the church, since I've been gone, you're like, who's this cat? You know, that's great. I'll hopefully introduce myself in a couple minutes. But I just love you. I love this church. We love you. We love Pastor Bill. We love Pastor Sandy. This is our home church. That is my pastor. This is where we tithe. We feel equally connected. Watch every week and just know what's going on in this church and just love you. This place is special. It's special for you. It's been very special for me. It is where I met my wife. It is where our kids have been born. This place revolutionized my life. It didn't impact my life. It changed me. It revolutionized me. I grew up in a church setting, and when I came here, I heard verses I'd heard my whole life, but I heard them in a way I'd never heard them before. It changed my whole outlook on life. It slung shot me. Can you say that? I can say whatever I want. I'm from Southeast Missouri now. I've been slung shot up here on stage, and you can slung shot your life out in front, and that's exactly what the message of this house has done, and I'm eternally grateful for it. I'll tell you what. I don't know if this is part of the Hitman program, but it's not my first time. I'll tell you that. I had a lot of different moves back in the day. They have digressed. I'll be honest. I got a hip over there now, and I got a, it just doesn't work like it used to. That's all I know. I moved here in May of 2003 because I wanted to get my life around some guys that were going this way with their life. And that's what I did. I moved here. I had no idea what Guts Church was. I had no idea what was in store for my life. I just knew that if I get around these guys, my life will go this way. I moved here in May of 2003. I was here for 17 and a half years and spent most of those years on staff in some capacity at this church or some sort of leadership. I met my wife here. We have three kids. And this place, like I said, has revolutionized my life. I'm so thankful for it. My kids are 10, 7, and 5 now. My 10-year-old, double digits, she's very creative, and she's very sentimental, and so we're trying to teach her not to be a hoarder. That's the goal with her right now. My middle child is extremely competitive. She has her mother's mean streak. If you know her, that makes total sense. She's very competitive. Nina showed her a video of an Olympic athlete last year in the Olympic Games sprinting, and Mila saw the video, and Nina says, look how fast she's running. And Mila goes, I could beat her. I said, yeah, great, all right. And then my five-year-old little boy, who has her completely wrapped around his finger, is awesome and super playful and fun. Chris asked him this morning, said, what's your favorite food? He said, candy. And he said, well, what's your favorite candy? He goes, all of it. And so he's down to party, and he's a lot of fun. In Missouri, where I grew up in this area, my father has a family business. We have a family business that he built. We've been in it for about 40 years, and it's on Current River. It's inside the Ozark National Scenic Riverways, and we have a hotel, and we have a restaurant, and are in the hospitality industry. And I was able to make a big difference. I think we were influencing the culture there and stuff in this last year. Many of you that know us or have kept up with us a little bit know that on September 15th of this year, our main building that's about 29 years old burned to the ground. I got a call at 1:30 in the morning, said there's a fire, the landing's on fire. I came down there. I had to go get my dad, my stepmom, had to get my brother. We got down there, and a small town fire department with some old worn-out equipment. I'm not putting it on them. I'm just simply saying it was hard for them to get it contained, and that whole main building went to the ground. Significant loss. It's something tragic. It's something, if you've never been through it, it's very surreal. You're sitting there from about 1:30 in the morning till about 6:30 in the morning just watching it burn and knowing there's nothing you can do. It's changed the course of where we're at in life, and we're having conversations now with architects, and we're having conversations trying to discuss the next steps, the next plans for that. But I back up because in 1993, when we had built the building in 92, we built it just above the last big record flood. Well, in 1993, a year later, the river got up and had a 100-year flood, and it got 16 inches in the bottom level of our hotel into the rooms. Fast forward to 2017, a 1,000-year flood came, and it got about 6 feet into the second floor of the hotel rooms. We thought we were going to lose the building. That was in April. My father was able to hustle the buildings, and the operations pretty significant to the income and the economy of this small town, and he was able to get it up and running for that summer, which was very impressive. Took its toll. 5 years later, 2021, that main building has now burned. My brother came up with a creative idea for a t-shirt this year that says, "I'm going to float this river come hell or high water." I think that's pretty great. When I started thinking about what I want to talk to you tonight, I thought, that's what I'm going to title my talk, come hell or high water. And that's what I want to talk to you tonight for just a few minutes, if we can. Come hell or high water. Life throws us some curveballs. In those last 5 years, I lost my mom. Nina lost her dad. We went through some financial stress, different difficulties. Life will hit you hard. The world can hit you hard. But you have to have such a resolve in your life. You are taught this in this house, in this church, that come hell or high water, I'm not coming off this mountain. I'm not coming off this rock. I'm not going to stop trusting God no matter what the circumstances are, no matter what I like or don't like about it, whether I agree with it or don't agree with it, whether I understand it or not understand it, I'm not coming off this spot. I am going to stand my ground, stand my position, and I'm going to continue to trust God. And it's funny because I think a lot of people in here, different personalities, some of you are wired that way. Like you're going to win. You're not going to take no for an answer. You're not going to take no for an answer in business. If somebody's coming to you, you're going to overcome that situation. You're going to dominate. Whatever it is, it's wired in you. Yet somehow when it comes to our relationship with God, as soon as some things happen that we don't fully understand, we start second-guessing, backing off, and questioning, well, where's God? How does this work? I remember being in high school-ish, college, somewhere in there. I didn't want to go to college, but I mean, you know, that age group. And I can remember, like, believing for something that I thought I wanted or needed, and it didn't happen, right? And I can remember taking this attitude, well, God's going to do what he wants to do, so I'm going to do what I want to do. That's very stupid. Don't do that, okay? That's not how this works. And so what I want to talk to you is a few ways to help you find this position. In some ways, I question whether or not this is something I want to talk about because I feel like I'm preaching to the choir a little bit. But I also believe that there's some people in here that maybe you've been questioning God or you've been confused, you've been frustrated, or maybe you're new to this thing and you're just going, I don't understand how this works. You're building your life off of experience, as Pastor Bill's taught us many times before, instead of the truth of God's word. And I want to help you find a resolve in your life tonight that says, I'm not backing down. As a matter of fact, I'm going to go ahead and take another step forward. I'm going to go ahead and get aggressive and take another step forward, okay? And so what I want to talk to you, the first thing I want to tell you to do this, number one, is you have to know God's character. You have to know God's character. And let me take a quick deviation from there. And you have to remind yourself first of how committed God is to you. You think it's about your commitment to him. And you feel like because you've done some things that God owes you a few things. Can I help you with something? He does not owe you anything. God has committed everything he can commit to you. He dipped in his pocket. He gave his son. The man was brutally beaten. He was unrecognizable as a man. He took these thorns into his head. He was whipped on his back. He was humiliated. He was stripped naked. He was hung on a cross. He suffocated. And he did it because God was so passionate about you. The odds of you being born are 400 trillion to one, and you're the one that God picks. And when you screwed it up, God dipped in his pocket, and he put Christ on the cross. He dipped in it. He became God, became man himself, and he paid the price for you. Show me another deity who pays the price for you to be right with him. Show me another story, another God, supreme being, who says that you don't have to do enough to make it right, but I'll actually take the hit for you and cover you. You got to remind yourself, number one, how committed God is to you first. He has already dipped in his pocket. He's already paid the price. He's already sacrificed his son. And the Bible says if he gave you Jesus, won't he freely give you everything else? Well, I don't have everything else yet. Well, who said he's done? Who said God's done? God's doing something bigger in your life than you understand. You think it's about just a couple external things. You think it's about everything hitting right. You think it's about getting all those plates balanced and spinning and everything going right. God's extracting things from you. God is conforming you to the image of his son. God is pulling out the effectiveness of the giftings that he put in your life. God is stripping away the anchors and the things that you've been putting your hope in because he wants all of your hope in him. God is doing a work in your life all the time. And you have to know God's character. Paul said it like this in Romans chapter 8. I am persuaded. I am convinced that nothing I face or go through can separate me from God's love. Where's the example in that? What I just told you, Jesus on the cross, how committed he is to you. If he's willing to do that, do you remember the fact that Jesus didn't want to die on the cross? Can we go ahead and go there for a minute? It's not like he was going, hey, I'll do it. I'm here. I'd love to. Right? He's actually going, hey, God, whoo, man, if we could come up with another option, I'm wide open. Wide open here, you know? But I'm willing to let go of what my short-term preference is for your long-term outcome in their lives. That's how God is with you. God is passionate about you. The Bible says he's constantly thinking about you. He is constantly mindful of you. These are things that many of you know. Some of you have never heard it before, maybe. See, you came through your mama, but you came from God. He picked you, and he's thinking about you, and he gifted you, and he has plans for you, and he died on the cross for you. And so now you're in a little bit of a hiccup, or something doesn't add up, something you don't think is fair, and you're going, well, I don't know if God, I just don't know. What are you talking about? What are you talking about? We sang the first song tonight. It's one of my verses, Psalm 27, verse 13, that I'm convinced, I'm confident that I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. I don't like the circumstances. Hey, guess what? You don't have to like them, but you don't have to be afraid of them. There is no room for fear. Pastor Bill annihilated fear in October. If you weren't in church in October, go back and watch them all. Annihilated it. There is no room for it. You think it's fair and unfair? Let me help you with what I tell my kids. There's no such thing as fair and unfair. There's your life. And God's appointed you for this day and for this time, and he's gifted you, and his anointing rests on his word, and his word is in your heart, and I want to get more of his word operating in my life, and I want my mind renewed to the truth of his word, and I want it coming out of my mouth, and I will produce the goodness of God in my life. God will take this circumstance, this situation, and he's going to use it and turn it for good. Psalm chapter 37, if you need a little encouragement, maybe you feel like people around you are winning and, man, you're trying to honor God and you're trying to do the right thing and you got people at work or people in your neighborhood or people wherever that, man, they don't even care about God and it seems like they're succeeding and you're not and it makes you go, well, I just don't know, and you start backing off and second guessing. Go read Psalm 37. Read the whole chapter and let it be a chapter of showing you how you're going to win. You're winning all the time, always winning. And what it looks like maybe other people are winning, number one, we're not comparing our life to them, but number two, they're not going to prevail. You're God's children. God's hands on your life. God will win. God will prevail, and you will prevail in his life. Look at what verse 23 says. The Lord is directing the steps of the godly. That's you. Well, I just don't know how godly I am. Whoa. You are godly. You're the righteous of God in Christ Jesus. You are godly. Well, I don't feel very godly. Great. That's whatever. Who cares? You are. Okay? So God is directing your steps. Well, I don't understand why this happened, that happened. Let me be very clear. God didn't do it, but God is in it, and God's going to use it. Okay? God has not forgotten you. God has not abandoned you. God has not forsaken you. God is committed to you, and he's directing your steps. Look at the rest of the verse. He's directing the steps of the godly. He delights in every detail of your life. You think there's only certain things that he cares about. He delights in every detail of your life. He delights in the details of your marriage. He delights in the details of your profession, your career. He delights in the details of raising your children. He delights in the details of your friendships, your relationships, your influence in the community. He delights in every detail of your life, that you're the leader that he's called you to be, that the giftings he's put in you come to full fruition for the goodness of the gospel being preached. Well, I'm not vocal, and I'm not outspoken, and I'm not that. Yeah, but you are hospitable. And you need to put that thing to work because that gifting will bring people to the kingdom. Well, I'm not real hospitable. Well, you're administrative. Put that administrative thing to give it to God and put it to work and let God use that gifting in your life to bring people to the kingdom. He delights in every detail of their lives. And though they stumble, they will never fall, for the Lord holds them by the hand. God's holding your hand. God's holding your hand. He's got you. He's right there with you in whatever it is you're going through. And so because I know this about him, I'm not going to cower and back down and back away and go into seclusion. I'm not going to question or second guess. I'm not going to decide if I'm going to go to church or not go to church because how I feel, because I don't really understand what God's doing in my life right now. What are you talking about? I'm going to get where God's people are. I'm going to get where the message is being preached. I'm going to get where my soul is recharged and revived. I'm here. I've already made the decision, which goes back to come hell or high water. I'm going to be here on Sunday mornings. So guess what that does? That dictates your Saturday night. I'm not going anywhere, so that dictates my response tomorrow morning. You got a situation in life that doesn't feel good, doesn't feel right, doesn't seem good. Guess what? Because you've already determined I'm not going anywhere, come hell or high water, tomorrow morning you get up, you start proclaiming God's word. Let the weak say I'm strong. Well, I'm weak. Well, what are you supposed to say? I'm strong. That's what's going to come out of my mouth tomorrow morning. Why? Because I've already made up my mind about God's promise in my life. I've already made up my mind about God's character and commitment to me in my life. I've already made up my mind that I'm not going anywhere. The second thing I want you to understand is that God is your reward. And I think the older we get, you go through more life experiences, and you start to understand this more and more and better and better. The Bible says that God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And when we read it like that, which is how it reads, we interpret it a lot of times as if that God responds to me, right? That if I'll do, then he'll do. But I want you to understand something, that God is not a rewarder where he's throwing you treats. God is the reward. And when you begin to diligently seek him, you begin to discover the fact that, A, he's inexhaustible, right? And so the more I get to know God, the more I realize that he's what I have. He's my Jehovah Shalom. He's my Jehovah Jireh, the provider. He's the anchor to my soul. He's the hope that I have. He's the one that anchors my soul, that hope. He's my confidence. He's my everything. He's my fulfillment. All the things that I have that I navigate in life are tools that God can use in my life and through my life to reach people. But at the end of the day, that's not the reward. That's not the reward. You can know people that don't have any money who have stress and have problems. You can know people that have money that have stress and have problems. So obviously it's not money. I know single people that are stressed and have problems. I know married people that are stressed and have problems. So apparently it's not marriage and a relationship. I know people on both. So where's the fulfillment? Where's the reward? Where's the, it's who he is. And what happens is when we go through adversities or difficulties that are promised in the Bible that we will overcome, when we go through them, what's happening in our life is God is developing us and showing us that he's all we have. So when I lose the things that are what I thought I knew, I realize what I really have. If you've lost a building to a fire, if you've lost a job, if you've lost and had some sort of heartache, if you ever started to put your hope in someone or something and it let you down and you became heartsick, you realize that what I really have is him. When all of this is gone, what do I have? He's the reward. He's the hope. He's the peace that I have, the confidence that I have. He's my everything. Look at Philippians chapter 3, verse 7. I once thought, this is Paul, he'd been talking about his history and who he was. He's describing all of his achievements. He's describing the standard of excellence with which he's carried himself all the days of his life. He's saying, look, if we're basing this on credentials and paperwork and achievements, I'm as good as it gets. That's what he's saying, right? And then in verse 7, he says, I once thought these things were valuable, but now I consider them worthless because of what Christ has done. Yes, everything else is worthless when compared with the infinite value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake, I have discarded everything else, counted it all as garbage, so that I could gain Christ and become one with him. Everything else, not that it's wrong, don't misinterpret what I'm saying. Don't misinterpret what I'm saying. God wants you thriving in every aspect of your life. But that's not the goal. Paul said, look, I had all of it going on. But I've now, because of how I know Christ and who Christ is, I count all those things as garbage compared to knowing him. Not that they're wrong, but compared to knowing him, nothing. It's not valuable. It's not even close. It's not even a close second. It's distant. So this is what I have. This is my reward. I don't have to fear anything anymore because I've overcome it. I preached my mom's funeral. I preached my father-in-law's funeral. And there's a verse in 1 Thessalonians that says, let me be honest with you for those who have gone on to be with the Lord, who have passed from this life to the next life. And he says, so that those of you that are grieving don't grieve as those without hope. It doesn't mean you can't grieve. I don't grieve like somebody without hope. See, the fact is our days are numbered. We don't like to talk about it. We don't like to think about it. It's not fun to think about it. It's kind of morbid, but the fact is your days are numbered. And nobody I know in the last gazillion years has escaped death. And the fact of the matter is, I don't have an answer for it. But Jesus came and defeated it. And so even in the face of death, I don't have to like it, but I don't have to be afraid of it because I have victory over death. And if I have victory over death, I got victory over sin, sickness, disease, poverty, hopelessness, loneliness, everything else. I've already won. So it's not that I'm trying to get all my plates spinning. I have all the reward I could ever have. And so when I get up tomorrow morning, I don't care if life's fair. I don't care what the circumstances is I face. I'm gonna get up tomorrow and I'm gonna celebrate the fact that I know Christ and my name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. I'm going to heaven. I don't have to fear tomorrow. I've already won. I'm gonna keep winning. I'm gonna keep taking ground. I'm gonna keep kicking butt and I'm gonna keep coming and preaching to you guys, okay? I mean, as long as Pastor Bill will have me. Daniel chapter 3, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. If you don't know the story, King Nebuchadnezzar's built this big statue. He says, everybody has to bow down and worship my statue. These three boys are committed to God. They're already resolved. They're already determined. They've already said, man, I'm all in. They've already accepted the commitment that God made to them, even though this is old covenant. They said, man, he's committed to us. I'm giving all of it back to him. Chapter 3, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, verse 16, replied, oh, Nebuchadnezzar. He said, look, if you don't bow down, I'm gonna throw you in this fiery furnace, okay? In other words, and look, when you hear that, kind of like Daniel in the lion's den, it feels like this really sweet little Bible story. Can I help you with something? If you don't bow down to my statue, I'm gonna kill you. Does that sound different? I'm gonna burn you alive, okay? Put yourself in their spot for just a moment. What does it feel like to be in this spot? You're facing death. And they said, oh, Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves to you. Everybody's Apple phones are blown up. Let me help you. Don't worry about looking. There's a severe weather warning going on. You don't need to look at it. Just keep your Bible out. If the roof blows off, just run. It'll be fine. Okay? Oh, Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you. If we were thrown into that blazing furnace, the God whom we serve is able to save us. He will rescue us from your power. One way or another, he will rescue us from your power, your majesty. But even if he doesn't, we want to make it very clear to you. I love the way this is worded. Even if he doesn't, we want to make it abundantly clear to you, sir, O king. Even if he doesn't, we want to make it abundantly clear to you that we will never serve your gods or worship the gold statue you have set up. Let me make it very clear. Let me serve notice to the devil tonight. I will never retract or retreat in my life. I don't care what he throws at me. I don't care what's in front of me. I don't care what the opposition is. Let me be clear to you. I'm confident that my God is able to save me and he will deliver me. He has delivered me. He's already sent Jesus. But even if this situation doesn't change, let me be very clear to you. I'm not going anywhere. I'm staying right here and you can take a hike. Now, how about that? How about them apples, right? Like devil, right? Let them know. I'm not going anywhere. I'm going to stay here, and I'm going to overcome. Pastor Bill said in a sermon, I don't know how many weeks ago, maybe months ago, I don't know when it was, but he said the promises of God are not about preventing circumstances in your life, although they can, but they are there for overcoming circumstances in your life. And I thought, man, that's beautiful. That's awesome. Because we want to treat it like this methodology that if I do it all right, that I won't have the adversity. I won't face the difficulty. Well, I don't, but here's the deal. I don't care about the adversity anymore. I don't care about the difficulty anymore. I already have what I need to overcome the adversity and the difficulty. So I don't care anymore, right? I'm already in a position of winning. All right, let me wrap it up. Number three, he's all I see. He's all I see. He's all I see in this circumstance. It's where my focus goes. He's all I see. I see him in the middle of it. It's not his nature if it's something that's difficult, but I see him in it. What are you talking about, Jeremy? There's a story about Jesus walking on the water. Maybe you've heard of it. Peter's in the boat. He says, Lord, if that's you, tell me to come. He says, come. Peter gets out of the boat, starts walking on water. You were designed and built and saved and rescued and redeemed to live a supernatural life. You were designed and built to live your life on the water. Peter's walking on the water, and as long as his eyes were focused on Jesus, but let's back up from Jesus, the man, and let's go to John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. So our eyes are on Jesus. Our eyes are on the Word. Our mind is renewed to the truth of God's promise. As long as my eyes are focused on Jesus, I begin to walk on the water, the wind and the waves. Okay, he takes his eyes off of the promise for a little bit. And what happens? He sinks. You have two options to live your life with Jesus. How many of you guys are saved? Wave your hand at me. Okay, great. If you didn't wave at me, talk to me afterwards. You have two options with your relationship with Jesus. You can live your life with Jesus on the water. Can I get a hootie hoo? Or you can live your life with Jesus in the water. What's the difference? The difference is, if you're going to take all these winds of doctrine that are blowing around and you're going to mix them with God's promise, you're going to sink. There's not room for karma in your God's doctrine. There's no place for karma. What are you talking about? Karma says that the sins of my past are going to dictate my future. That is the opposite of what redemption is. Redemption saved me and delivered me and rescued me and set my feet on the ground, and I'm a new creation in Christ. Old things have passed away. I don't have room for karma in my mix. How about live your truth? What? Let me help you. You don't have one. You got some facts, but the Bible says that you don't even know what's in your own heart. How do you know what your truth is? But you start justifying your behavior because it's your truth. There's only one truth, and my eyes are set on the truth. And as long as I'm building my life on God's promise that even though the wind and the waves are out there, and even though the wind's blowing, my eyes are on the truth, and I will walk on those winds of adversity. Look, if I'm on the water, the wind is ruffling through my hair. If I'm on the water, the waves are like this. I don't know if you guys remember the story. It's a storm going on. It's a storm. So it's not like this sheet of glass. They're in the sea. The waves are like this. So you can imagine how it feels. Like even in your peripheral, you can see the waves, even though my eyes are on the truth. And I got to think that even on the water, that water's splashing up on them, right? The point is this. The circumstances aren't any different if you choose to be on the water or in the water. The difference is where you put your attention. And even though there's wind and waves all around you, even though buildings burn, and even though floods come up, and even though you lose loved ones, and even though you go through some financial stress, and even though you lost that job, and even though you got that bill in the mail, and even through those things happen, my eyes are on the promise, and I'm going to walk on top of these oppositions in my life. I was built to live a supernatural life. You were saved for that. God handpicked you. God sustained you. God redeemed you. And God leads you for what? Supernatural living. Why? Because people go, how are you doing it? Severe warning. We already know what it is. I already know. God's plan for you is to win. God's plan for you is not to be overcome by the wind and the waves and live your life with Jesus like this. Help me, help me, help me, help me. Jesus is saying, let's go take a walk. Let's go walk on the water. Let me show you some things that you couldn't even imagine for yourself and for your life. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. Looking unto Jesus, keeping my eyes on Jesus, the author and the finisher of my faith. Right? How about Colossians chapter 4, or Colossians 3, Set your mind on things above, right? 2 Corinthians chapter 4, fix your gaze, not on the things you can see, on the things that are unseen. Keeps me in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you. Look at those verses. I've got to fix my gaze. It locks in. I'm locked in on God's promise. My focus is on the truth of God's word. My mind is set on things above. My mind is stayed on him. I'm looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of my faith. There's a determination and a resolve in my life of where my attention goes and where my focus goes. And so how do you navigate it? As a believer, are you dealing with less things or more things than anybody else in the world? Of course not. The difference is you're walking on the water. Why? Because my gaze is fixed. Because my attention is on him, and because I have resolve that I'm not going to look to what's going on around me. I know what's going on. I know it's there. I'm just not going to give it any attention. Because what happens? Here comes that fear, which is exactly what happened with Peter. You look to the side and you're going, I do not belong up here on this water. Right? You look at these huge winds and waves and the whatever's going on, the storm, you see lightning in the background, and you're thinking, my God, and then you sink. I don't have room to mix the winds of doctrine into my truth. I'm going to close with this and to give you an opportunity for a little ministry tonight. Psalm chapter 66, verse 12. You know, a lot of times when you're making difficult decisions, and I encouraged my father with this today or yesterday, I showed him this verse because I told him that I was coming and getting to preach, had the opportunity to preach with everybody, and I told him I titled my talk, Come Hell or High Water, and I came across this verse. And you know, when you're reading and you see a verse, you're just like, oh, I'm taking that. I'm grabbing that. That's why you spend time in the Word. It's not your duty, it's your opportunity. You get in the Word and you see a verse, and it's like, oh, perfect. And you may not find the specific detailed instruction you need for the circumstance you're going through, but what you will find is the promise of God to give you confidence about the future that's ahead of you. And in Psalm chapter 66, verse 12, it says this, we went through fire and flood, but you brought us to a place of great abundance. What's my future? Great abundance. What's my future? Goodness in the land of the living. What's my future? All things working together for good. What's my future? More than I could imagine, think, dare, even ask, according to the power of God that's working in me. Well, what are y'all gonna do? I don't know, the Holy Spirit's leading us to make the right decision. And whatever the decision is, it's going to eventually produce great abundance. I've already been through the fire and I've already been through the flood. God brought us through those and he brought us into what? Great abundance. You're going through a fire, you're going through a flood, you're going through a heartache, you're going through a challenge. Can I tell you what's in front of you? Great abundance. Great abundance. God wants to give you an abundance of peace, an abundance of joy, an abundance of resource, an abundance of friendships. He's got abundance for you. That's what's in front of you. Isaiah chapter 43, 1 and 2. But now, thus says the Lord who created you. Listen to how personal it is. You don't think God's personal with you? Let it be personal right here. The Lord who created you, and O Jacob, and he who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name. Let it sink in. Let it sink in because you dilute it for yourself. You're just one of 7 billion people on the earth. You're just one of a couple thousand people in a congregation. You're just one person in Tulsa. You're just one business. You're just one marriage. You're just one dad, one mom. You're just somebody. You're just an average person. I don't know. It doesn't sound very average to me when the creator of the universe calls you by name. That's pretty personal. God knows your name. And then look what he says. You are mine. You are mine. God takes ownership of you. God handpicked you. God brought you to such a time as this. And God has allowed you into whatever circumstance you're in because he is developing something in you, extracting something in you, and using you to make a difference and an impact, not only in the circumstances of life today, be it good or bad, but for what he's wanting to accomplish in you and through you in the future. Look what it says. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, nor shall the flame scorch you. Can we give God a praise for his promises in your life? Can you praise God like he knows you by name and he's holding your hand? He knows your name. And whatever you're going through, it's not gonna take you out. It's not gonna overwhelm you. It's not even gonna burn you. You're gonna be stronger, healthier, faster, more insightful, filled with more wisdom, more understanding, more perspective, more power, more anointing. Great abundance is in your future. If you're here tonight and you're facing any kind of obstacle, any kind of opposition, I'm just gonna ask you to stand to your feet where you're at. I'm not gonna ask you to come forward, but I want you to take a stand and say, I'm not coming off this mountain. I'm facing something, but come hell or high water, by God, I am not going anywhere. I want you to stand to your feet and make a practical move of a faith situation that's happening in your heart. You're facing something that feels like, I don't know how to deal with this. I don't know what the answer is. I don't know how it's gonna work out. I don't know how it's gonna come together. I can't see what's on the other side. It's too thick, it's too foggy. I can't hardly see a thing. I don't know how it's gonna work. I don't know where the money's gonna come from. I don't know how this marriage or relationship's gonna work out. I don't know how it can be restored. I don't know who's gonna be able to get to my teenager, my kid. I don't see how it's gonna happen. Can I help you? Put your hand up. God's got your hand. Close your eyes. The Bible says that he's holding your hand. You're his. He has not forgotten you. He's not abandoned you. He hasn't forsaken you. Feel him holding your hand. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus, by the power of the Holy Spirit, that you will flood every heart of those standing. God, you are a consuming fire, and you burn away the chaff, and you burn away the things that are not of you. God, with their hand raised high as you hold their hand, God, we pray that you would search our hearts, show us anything in us that's offensive to you, that we can address it and deal with it, because God, we're not going anywhere. We're not coming off this spot. Come hell or high water, God, I'm gonna trust you because I know that you're good. I know that you will prevail. I know that I will win. God, I'm asking you, pray this in your own way. God, I'm asking you to do a mighty work in my life. My hope is in you. My confidence is in you. My trust is in you. God, I belong to you and you've never failed me. I'm not looking to the left. I'm not looking to the right. I'm not questioning your character. I'm not doubting your promise. God, I will continue to go forward with assertiveness, with aggression, with confidence. I will take new ground. I will be everything you've called me to be. God, you have gifted me. You have handpicked me. And God, you will prevail in my life. You are Jehovah Shalom. You are Jehovah Jireh. You are my provision. You are my prosperity. You are my healing, my Jehovah Rapha. You are my peace. My confidence is in you, not in me. God, I'm asking you for wisdom now. I'm asking you for wisdom. And you said you'd give it to me liberally. I receive your wisdom now. I receive your direction. You said in Psalm 37 that you direct my steps. God, I'm trusting you to direct my steps. You give me wisdom and direction of how to navigate this season of life. And God, I'm confident that you and I together will prevail. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Can I give you one last little bit of encouragement? It's kind of personal, and I hope it doesn't weird you out in any way. I went to, my mom passed in 2018. You can be seated. Thank you for standing. And know that from this moment forward, things are different. Things are different. Say it. Things are different. I went to my mom's gravesite. I was by myself. They were all in Texas. And I don't believe that they can come back and talk to us or anything like that, but I'm just hanging out eating some Panda Express. And talking to her, talking to the rock. And I was just like, you know, I was picturing what it would be like if she were alive and like what, she, you know, all the things. And I just like, I said, and again, I don't believe she can talk to me, so don't misinterpret what I'm saying. But I was kind of like, what would you tell me right now, Mom? Like, what would you say to me? Thinking about being with Jesus, to be absent of the bodies, to be present with him. And the Bible says that there's a cloud of witnesses. She's cheering me on. The people that have gone are cheering you on. That while you're going through a fire and going through a flood, they're cheering you on saying, don't stop, don't quit, don't back down, don't worry about it. And I was like, Mom, what would you tell me right now if you could tell me anything? She's like, totally worth it. It's totally worth it. It's totally worth it. Where else are you going to go? Who else has the words of life? It's totally worth it. I'm not quitting. Come hell or high water, I'm going to trust God. God bless you guys. I love y'all very much.
Thank you so much for listening to this podcast. If you'd like more information about the ministries of Guts Church, visit our website at gutschurch.com.